and welcome to Intellectually Shallow, overanalyzing the mundane for not more than 21 episodes.
Had to think about that.
Oh, yeah, because I just put up 20 this weekend.
Moving my chair.
And I was a little behind. Now I'm actually caught up.
Well, that's good.
Because
so luckily, it was good that I skipped a week.
Good thing we were a little bit of a Renee was a slacker last week.
Hey, well, I was a slacker with you, but I was doing something else. I wasn't quite.
Well, you know, you were a slacker with me, and that's all that really matters, Renee.
Yeah, but hey, when you think about it, I really haven't missed a day, and I've pretty much been good.
You have been
good. It's like the first day that I missed.
This is true.
Yeah.
And too bad, because I made sliders last week.
Ooh.
I made sliders, and we would have had, coleslaw.
Wait, wasn't it my turn to cook?
No, it wasn't your turn to cook last week.
It wasn't?
It was not. That's why I had you cook this week.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because I already, bought food and everything.
Oh, dang. I missed out on sliders.
And they were good, too.
Darn.
And I made them on the foreman, and I made a little, had some cheese. You're not a big cheese person, but.
Mm-mm. I mean, I love provolone, but I really. Mm-hmm. Oh, I made an amazing omelet with cheese today. I'm back eating dairy.
Are you?
Yep, it's back in my diet.
You might need the dairy anyway, because, you know, we'll give you some calories that you may need.
Yeah, earn some, gain some weight.
A little calcium for the bones.
Well, I drink about. On average, about a gallon a week of milk.
Mm.
A gallon.
That's a lot of milk.
Yeah. I love milk. I love
milk. A lot of milk, Renee.
I don't drink
milk anymore.
I drink, because I have a bowl of cereal pretty much every morning, and then I have at least probably 2 glasses a day.
I eat yogurt and cheese, but I don't do milk that much.
I love milk. Chocolate milk. I love chocolate milk. Strawberry milk. Strawberry milk. You know my favorite strawberry milk is Oakhurst.
Really?
Yep. No, not Oakhurst. I'm sorry. That's a lie. Smiling Hill Farm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the funny thing, we used to get that. We have that at work.
Smiling Hill Farm.
At the cafeteria.
Like their milks?
Well, yeah, the little milks. The so deposits good. Are like a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get the chocolate milk once, yeah. The chocolate milk once in a while. And
so good.
And it was really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really drink that much. I used to eat cereal, and I don't even do that much anymore. So I have cereal and milk.
Yeah.
I have yogurt and fruit for breakfast now. Yogurt or fruit,
mm-hmm.
or nuts, or I'll go for the whole hog greasy, you know,
from south
bacon
to
eggs, you know, bacon eggs and the whole thing.
Yes.
I very rarely just eat cereal.
Oh, I love cereal.
I go yogurt and fruit, super healthy or super crappy.
When I was in high school, you know, the quart ones that they sell? I used to have, they sell the bottled ones from Smiling Hill. I used to have 3 of those a day.
Wow.
Yeah. It became, and that's how I found out I was allergic.
Oh, because you were drinking 5 million gallons a day.
Yeah, because I was having all these issues, and so finally I got tested. And they're like, dude, but what ends up, so we figured out I can have, I can have a certain amount before it starts to, affect me, just because I basically overdosed my body on it. Yeah.
I think cheese also. Cheese and yogurt.
Cheese is awful.
Well, yogurt's different. Yogurt mm-hmm. is not the same. A lot of people,
yogurt doesn't affect me.
A lot of people that are quote, lactose intolerant eat yogurt with a pretty much not a problem.
Yep.
And I'm super healthy, so I eat the Greek strain yogurt.
I don't like it.
You don't like
it? I bought some this week. I tried it for the first time mm-hmm. because everybody's been trying me. Now that I know you like them, I'll bring the other two. I just bought, I don't like them.
No.
Do you like blackberry?
I don't have flavored yogurt anyway.
Never mind then. I'll give them to somebody else.
I'll tell you the truth, because what I usually eat is the plain yogurt,
mm-hmm.
usually with strawberries or mm-hmm. oranges or blueberries. Straight up. I mix them up.
Okay, yeah.
But I'll tell you what works really well that I... it's a thing I sort of discovered was that I like the Greek strain yogurt
mm-hmm.
with oranges. You take the oranges, you dip them in the yogurt, and you eat them.
I don't eat oranges.
And they're really good. It's having a little dip. And it's the perfect sort of... The mix between the two?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good combo.
I will have to take your word on that one, because I don't like oranges.
You don't like oranges?
Nope. I grew up in South Africa, mangoes and papayas and kiwis. And so by the time I came here, apples and oranges, I was like, really?
Well, apples.
I don't eat apples. I only eat them when I'm making an apple pie, when I have the complete filling made with the sugar and the... And then I'll, grab a couple. But beyond that, I don't eat apples.
No?
Nope.
How about strawberries?
Love strawberries.
Blueberries?
Nope.
I like blueberry. You know, blueberries are like one of those things I used to not like, but I eat them now.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I'd eat blackberries.
I love blackberries. Yesterday I made a raspberry and blackberry salad with my own raspberry dressing.
I'm not a big fan of raspberries.
Love raspberries.
Blackberries, when I was a kid, we used to go in the woods and pick them ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Island, Peaks Island we used to go.
Or just like, I mean, this is even in Pennsylvania.
It's so nice.
And actually there was more blackberries there than there was on Peaks Island.
Yeah, probably, I bet.
And we used to pick them, and I used to pick like big bushels of them.
Yes.
And then I made my mom make me a pie.
She
would not make a pie unless I would have said, I wouldn't pick out all these blackberries. You're not going to make a pie. Gosh. Get all pouty about it. There'd have been no pie.
You are too funny.
You know, because I said, Mom, you going to make me a pie? I got blackberries. And then she made them. I have a feeling that, you know, she probably wouldn't have made them unless I had picked them. We always had our secret blackberry patches we did not tell our friends about.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like the big, it was like the mother load. Mm-hmm. You had a good patch. You didn't tell anybody else about it. It was a secret.
You know, something I did eat that I didn't expect I would like was rhubarb.
Really? Like straight up rhubarb?
One of my ex's mothers made rhubarb pie when I was up Millinocket. They have rhubarb everywhere, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the, and I'd never actually had it. I just heard about it. And it looks like celery to me, and I don't like celery. So I was expecting it to be really like, ugh, I really like rhubarb.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
it's sweeter than I thought it would be.
I have a blueberry story.
Oh.
I was on the island with my friend Wazzy.
Mm-hmm.
Long Island, not Peaks Island. Okay. It's a different island.
Yep.
It's a cooler island than Peaks. Peaks is like...
Hey, no, I love Peaks.
Peaks is like the bedroom community. It's like a suburb of Portland. Like, Long Island's a real island, like with real islanders.
How do you mean Peaks is not an island?
Like, it's not a real main island. It's like a suburb of Portland. There's a boat like every hour.
But it's an island. What? It's determined... An island is determined by that it's an island because of the boat schedule, not the fact that it's, in the sea away from the mainland.
Well,
how does that work, Matt? How does that logic work?
Well, I mean, it's an island by pure definition.
It's an island community. Those people are not like us. I lived out there for a year. Those people are not like us.
Go to Long Island. Those people will be relatively sane, trust me.
And Peaks isn't?
Oh, it's like, let's put it this way. In the winter, you know how many boats a day go to Long Island? Like three.
Okay.
That's it.
Again, you're still determining it's an island based on a schedule rather than it's in the ocean with no other land around it.
By definition, Renee.
Oh, gosh.
You are correct if you parse the literal definition.
Portlanders are not these Portlanders. That's how I'm saying. That is an island because it is a community all on its own. It is not a community like ours. So Long Island is its own entity. Yes, it's got its own whatever. But Peaks is an island. It is not Portland.
But it's not a real main island. It's like the most...
It's 15 minutes away. It's not like it's like the ones that are like, what? Well, there's one that's like an hour and something away.
There's an island called Monhegan, which is way, you can't see. I mean, it's like if you actually
look at the
map.
See, I don't even know
the,
like Little Diamond, Long Diamond, Big Diamond, all of those.
We don't have to teach our listeners the geography of the coast of
Maine. Well, that's what I'm asking you. So how, it's an island, Matt. It's an island.
But
it's an island.
The difference between like Peaks Island and the other islands.
But it's not that it's not an island. The difference between the island. No, that's a bullshit answer. The difference between the islands is.
Let's put it this way. If you talk to any other islanders that live on the other islands, they would tell you, oh, Peaks, that's not a real island.
Oh, dear, geez. Whatever. Anyway,
okay.
Continue.
Long Island is a way better island.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I've been to
according
both,
to Matt,
in my opinion, because everything's relative, Renee. Show's over. Turn it off. We're done here. If I don't share my opinions,
I'm just saying it's according to Matt.
Okay,
that's all.
It's a logical fact. So
according
don't worry
to
about
Matt.
It.
Uh huh.
Let's see. Let's put it this way. Like Peaks is more of like a suburb of Portland because they have the boat like every hour. They have a car ferry. They have a car ferry goes to the island. So you could actually drive your car on and off every day if you wanted. Long Island has like three boats a day in the wintertime. It's about a 45-minute boat ride as opposed to a 15-minute boat ride, which means it's way more relatively isolated. You know, and the only people that live there in the wintertime are crazy people and lobstermen. And some of them, and they swap wives like you would not believe. That's a real island. If everybody cheats on everybody on the island, it's a real island.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, you think I'm kidding you? Oh, yeah, that's what they do in the wintertime on islands, is they cheat. Really? Seriously, you think I am actually making this shit up? I am not.
I'm not saying you're making it up. I just think it's funny.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
But and they have a better beach on Long Island too. They have a kick-ass beach on Long Island.
Okay,
one of the best.
I've never been.
One of the better beaches on the state. I'm surprised you didn't go there because
I've never been to any place. I've never been to New York. I've flown out of it once.
But I mean, Long Island, Maine.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I see. I don't know. You Jesus said Long. Christ. I don't know. There's a Long Island, Maine.
It's like the three boat stops, like two boat stops.
Sure.
It's three.
Where? Up north?
No. It's like out here in a harbor in Casco Bay.
You can go from here to it?
Yes, you can.
I don't know these things.
How long have you lived in Portland, Renee?
Matt, you haven't seen everything in Portland. This is the summer that I'm learning Maine. I'm living this summer or doing my best to live this summer as a tourist.
Because let's put it this way. Portland High used to have class trips out to Long Island, because I've been there.
Never.
Maybe not when you were there.
Not when I was there.
I remember going there in June on a Tuesday when I had the day
off.
And it's mobbed with kids.
Never.
From Portland High.
Didn't
Portland
even know
school.
It existed. Nope.
Yeah, it's like on there's really two ferries that leave this town. One of them goes to Peaks, which is like, that's why I say it's the suburb of Portland, because it's like every hour it goes back and forth. Yes, it's actually the city of Portland.
It actually is
in the city limits, technically.
Technically, it's in the city limits. Yes, I know.
So was Long Island, but not anymore. They broke off in 1991 or 1992.
Oh, okay.
And but Little Diamond and Great Diamond are part of the city still.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's two ferries. One ferry goes to Peaks, and it goes like every hour, and there's like a big car ferry. Like the ferry, like if you would like, it'd be about the same size ferry that like goes to Nantucket. A big ferry, put cars on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ferry, basically a passenger ferry that goes to the other islands in the bay,
mm-hmm.
which is Great Diamond, Little Diamond, Long, Peaks, and Chabique,
mm-hmm.
and Cliff, which is the very end of the road.
Forget about Cliff.
Long Island is probably like the third stop. There's a restaurant / store, and that's about it.
Okay.
And there's the beach.
Okay.
This is the best beach in the state. I hate to even talk about it because it's giving away my secret beach.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Everybody that knows, like, don't tell anybody.
You're too much.
Trust me. It's like truthfully, they have a bit, the beach is called the Singing Sands. When you walk on the beach, it literally squeaks. You know? And it's like, it's almost like the Caribbean in Maine.
Ooh.
It's that the beach is that nice.
Okay,
maybe we'll have to do a podcast there sometime.
Can we?
It's like it's a day affair to go out there because really there's only like six or seven boats a day,
and you
get there in the morning. There's like a 10-11, and you're pretty much there till 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Okay. No, that would be nice.
It's a day event.
Well, now that I'm giving up church, maybe that's what I can do on a Sunday.
Maybe we'll do that on a Sunday when I get out of work.
What time do you get out of work?
Depends. Sometimes I don't work Sundays, but when I do work Sundays, it's usually sometimes it's till noon. It varies. It's like one of those things. It's like we have like projects, and sometimes like today, last weekend I worked, I got out, I went in at 9. I was done by about 11.
Okay, that's not too bad. Church starts at 10 normally.
Sometimes I'm there at 6 in the morning, and I don't get out there till 6 in the evening.
Mm.
It all just depends on how it goes.
Right.
Basically, I have something to do on Sunday, and I'm there till it's done.
Well then.
That's kind of how my job goes.
Okay.
Because I'm a salary man.
Okay.
When you're a salary man, you do these things.
That's how this works.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Renee has a story to tell.
So, yay. Okay, so I have been looking for a band.
A band for about
3 years.
This is Portland. There are a lot of bands in the
city.
There
are lots of bands. However, I have terrible stage fright.
Okay.
So, like, my prayer has been to, like, work through that. Like, work through my stage fright and get over my stage fright. Because I can perform, but I don't remember what I've done.
Okay.
And that's kind of annoying. So, like, you know, when I'm rehearsing and before the show happens, I know it I mean, perfectly, because I have to do it without remembering that I did it. Because if I pay attention to the audience, then I lose it. So looking for a band, trying to get myself out there, trying to build my voice and be more confident in my voice, blah, 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 blah. So I finally decided to post something on Craigslist. I'm just like starting to use Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been using it forever. And of course, I'm too scared of it. So finally, I'm like, okay.
I'm too scared for my Craigslist.
I really am too scared for my Craigslist. So I finally posted something. I think the title was Gospel Singer Looking for a Band. And I got several hits, more than I totally expected. And out of all of the hits that I got two very successful hits, one of whom I'm meeting again for the second time on Thursday, who I'm hoping to get a job out of it, which would be great. And the one that happened this weekend was a gentleman who got a hold of me, and they were looking for, it's a reggae band. They,
yeah, I'm on.
They were looking to add a singer. Their album release is on September 1st, and they're looking to add, you know, like another horn, maybe possibly another guitar, and make it a bigger spectacle. They want a show for a touring band is what they're looking for. So they want to make it a little bit bigger, expand a little bit better, have some more harmonies, some good vocals. So we, him and I, the gentleman and I have been talking back and forth, you know, just trying to figure out a date. So we finally set up an audition date, and it was supposed to be for the 26th of this month. And so I was like really excited. So I'm like, yay, I might have found a band and I get to skip all the hard stuff, which I'm a diva. I'm not even going to lie about it. So that's awesome that I don't have to be there for all the hard stuff. And so we set up the date. And then this Saturday I went to the theater because my show is playing and we had rehearsal and we were doing tech this weekend. And I get a text message from the gentleman saying, hey, my singer just canceled and we have to be on stage tonight at 9:30. Is there any way you can make your way to Dover, New Hampshire? Because that's where they're based. And so I left my rehearsal and went to Dover, New Hampshire on Saturday. And filled in for a singer after 2.5 hours of learning 30 songs, which was awesome and totally stressful, but got on stage at 9 o'clock with the band and performed. And I'm so super excited to say that I'm now officially in a band.
Yay! That's very exciting.
Thank you. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was pretty awesome that in 2 hours I got to learn, or I learned as much as I could and got on stage knowing nothing.
No stage fright.
None at all. Like I got on and I was like, I should be nervous. Why am I not nervous? No nerves. Finished the first set and I was like, that was way too easy. Sometimes what happens in my like theater performances, it won't show up till like second half. So I thought maybe that's what's happening. It's like a delayed reaction. No. Went through the second set, no issues. It was fabulous. So I'm super excited to say that I'm performing, and our next show is August 10th in Dover at, what is it, Furry's Public House in Dover, New Hampshire. And the name of the band, Roots Nation. Woohoo! Band.
Awesome.
I'm in a band, y'all. I'm in a band. And they're amazing guys. Greg is the gentleman who I've been talking to, and he plays trombone and sings. He's the lead singer. And then Eric, who plays saxophone, sexy saxophone. Oh, so good at saxophone. And I'm going to miss the other guys. I know Ryder, but I can't remember if he's the guitarist or the keyboard player. And then there's, is it Gene? Glenn, is the drummer.
I wouldn't know Renee.
Sorry, Glenn is the drummer. And then there's a bass player. And yeah, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. So yeah, I'm in a band.
That's totally awesome, Renee.
Super excited.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, if you guys aren't doing anything and you're looking for some good reggae from some amazing artists, Dover, New Hampshire, August 10th, Furry's Public House. Next week I'll have all the right information to give you, like for sure. But if you, Furry's Public House in Dover, New Hampshire, it's right off the Amtrak. But yeah, it's awesome. It was fun. It was so much fun on Saturday. I was totally stoked. And I stayed at past one.
Party girl.
Crazy. And got up the next morning and made it in time. It was a little late, but I made it to church the next morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, reggae is the the gospel music of the Rastafarians. It's very similar to gospel.
It is. Well, that's why he found me. He's like, you know, R&B, gospel, and reggae, they're very, very close. And I was like, yes. It's just, I'm super excited. I've been looking for 3 years, Matt. It has been a very, very long journey. But I'm there, and I found a band, and they're really good. And I'm hoping that I can be what they need me to be. So, yeah. Album release on September 1st. Roots Nation, baby. All the way. So, yeah, that's my news.
Okay.
What are you doing? You've been awfully busy over there.
Oh, I was trying to find, like, my notes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I had a photo shoot on Friday.
Did you? How'd it go?
It was good. It was actually really good. We got some great photos. But we were in Waldoboro, Maine. And I got eaten alive.
In Waldoboro.
And I have bug bites. Oh my gosh, there's one like on my big toe that right now is just killing me. From the black flies or whatever they are, black whatever's. They're black flies, right? Is that what they are?
Black flies. There's black flies. There's mosquitoes.
No. They're definitely black flies.
And then there's the no-see-ums. You know what a no-see-um is, right?
What is that?
Those little bugs that fly around your head and you have to swat them away.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. If you like go in the woods in Maine, there's really three kind of bugs. Right? Spring is the black flies.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the biting flies that bite and it's really painful. And Renee is like, oh, I'm so itchy because we started talking about bugs.
No, I've been scratching this whole time.
Okay. But talking about itching and bugs and itching makes you scratch even more.
Yeah. But
I didn't notice it until we started talking about the
They're
bugs.
They're huge. Do you see them? I have them everywhere. Do you see this
God.
One?
Oh, my God.
You know what, Matt? F you. Continue.
Okay. Poor Renee got bit by bugs.
I didn't say poor me. I'm just saying I got eaten alive on Friday. I'm not saying poor me. I'm just scratching a lot. There's one that's like on the inside of my thigh. Like, it's in the most awkward place. It's awful.
Maybe we'll take pictures and put them up on the site.
Or not.
Okay. Our fans would love to see your thighs.
I'm sure they would. Hey, if we do a cast outside in the pool, they'll get to see me in a bikini.
Yes.
I promise if we do a podcast outside. Wait, I have to buy bathing suits because none of them fit.
Okay.
But when I buy a new bathing suit, we can. If you let me know which one, we'll do one outside.
Okay.
And you guys can see me in a bikini. Deal?
Deal.
Deal. Okay.
We'll have to play it by ear because, you know, it always depends on the weather.
Of course. You let me know.
Well, last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Like the weekend of like the 10th to the 11th was the Moxie Festival.
Oh my gosh. Gross.
Moxie is.
Gross.
A drink. It's a soda.
Was it created here in Maine?
We'll find it. Yes, it was. Let's see. Here's the Wikipedia entry. Okay. Moxie is a carbonated beverage that was one of the first mass-produced soft drinks in the United States. It continues to be regionally popular today. Moxie has a unique flavor that is not sweet as that of most modern soft drinks and is described by some as bitter.
Or gross.
Or battery acid.
Yep.
Moxie is closely associated with the state of Maine and was designated the official soft drink of Maine.
Really?
On May 10th, 2005.
Why? That's awful. Ew.
Its creator, Dr. Augustine Thompson, was born in Union, Maine.
Which is way up north.
Moxie originated as a patent medicine called Moxie Nerve Food,
ew,
which was created around 1876. By Dr. Augustus Thompson of Union, Maine. Thompson claimed that it contained an extract from a rare, untamed South American plant.
Unnamed.
And it was very rare, of course. Because it was so rare, it did not have a name, Renee. That's why it's rare.
Ridiculous. Uh-huh. People just believe anything.
Well, especially back then.
Idiots.
Which had supposedly been discovered by a friend of his, Lieutenant Moxie,
mm-hmm,
who had used it as a panacea for some of those people who are a little vocabulary I gave you.
Keep trying it. Keep going. Uh-huh.
Oh,
you got this.
Yes. Vocabulary challenged.
There you go.
A panacea is a cure-all, basically.
Yes. He claimed...
was especially effective against paralysis, softening of the brain, nervousness, and insomnia.
How awful.
There's something for you, Renee. Maybe you should try that.
Insomnia?
After a few years, Thompson added soda water to the formula and changed the product's name to Beverage Moxie Nerve Food. By 1884, he was selling Moxie both in bottles and in bulk at the soda fountain syrup.
Wow.
He marketed it as a delicious blend of bitter and sweet, a drink to satisfy everyone's taste.
Disgusting.
A lawsuit was filed in 1907 by the Moxie Nerve Food Company of New England against the Modocs, which sounds like an evil Marvel villain, company and others, allegedly that they had copied the ingredients of Moxie and were using the name Modocs, which closely resembles Moxie, and were infringing upon patents and trademarks. The suit was dismissed by the judge, who said the court could not protect a legitimate part of the plaintiff's business in this case. In a later case in New York, the Moxie Nerve Food Company, won a lawsuit against Modocs, which subsequently went out of business.
I want to know where the first lawsuit was filed, because if...
It's Wikipedia. President Calvin Coolidge...
Oh my gosh.
...was known to favor the drink.
Ew.
And the Boston Red Sox slugger Ted Williams endorsed it on radio.
Ew.
And in print. The company also marketed a beverage called Ted's Root Beer in the early 60s. Author E.B. White once claimed... E.B. White, the writer of Charlotte's Web...
Okay, that's right. That sounds familiar.
...once claimed that Moxie contained gentian root, which is the path to the good life.
Oh my gosh.
Currently, one of the ingredients of Moxie is gentian root extractives, which may contribute to the drink's unique flavor.
You mean gross flavor?
Well, we will get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Due to competition from Coca-Cola, the demand for Moxie has waned in recent years. Although the brand persists in New England and Pennsylvania. Diet Sugar-Free Moxie was introduced in 1962.
You skipped. The brand suffered a sufficient decline in sales during the 1930s, which is thought to have caused by the company's decision to expand its sugar reserves at the expense of its popular advertising campaign.
And one thing that's a good... thank you for calling it out, because that actually is good. Because let me tell you something about Coca-Cola. I know someone who used to work at Coke.
Yeah.
In like their IT shop.
Okay.
They
their
told
what
me
shop?
IT. Okay. Information technology.
Yep.
He told me, he said, they spent way more on advertising than they spent making soda.
No way.
Their number one expense was advertising
Coke?
And marketing. Yes.
That makes sense.
Because really, it doesn't take much money to make Coke.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine it does. It's all fabricated stuff.
You know, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Through extensive advertising, the Neologism
Moxie has entered the popular American usage with the meaning courage, daring, and energy.
What?
This, as in, this guy's got Moxie.
Ew.
That's been around. In its advertising, Moxie used Make Mine Moxie advertising jingles, the slogan Just Make It a Moxie for Mine, and Moxie Man logo. A unique advertising tool was the Moxie Horsemobile, a modified automobile whose driver sat on a large model of a horse. The first horsemobile were deployed around 1918.
Wow.
A 1935 Rolls-Royce Moxie
horsemobile
was sold for $55,000 at the May 20, 2011 Mecum auction in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow.
Moxie at one time maintained about 24 of them, and they appeared in parades and other public functions.
You just wasted $55,000, dude. There's a picture here of the Moxie horsemobile.
Yeah, some people have so much fucking money, $55,000.
This
Chumpo.
One was built
El
on
Chumpo
a
change
LaSalle
up.
Sedan displayed at St. Clark's Trading Post in Lincoln, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Wow, that's obnoxious.
I have a feeling, you know, let's put it this way. In New Hampshire, you know, like I told my friend, he was growing this really long beard. I said, you should gain about 30 pounds and sell antiques in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the big bearded dude collects, sells antiques and lives in New Hampshire.
Jeez, I'm crow. Oh, don't do that.
What?
Sorry, your computer, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. Used to
okay.
The black screen.
Yeah. What happened? Just keep the mouse from the upper, up from the corner, upper corners.
Gotcha.
And don't, I do this too. Don't smack your lips.
Oh, sorry.
It's really obnoxious when you, I do it too, almost as bad.
I try not to. Well, it's hard when you're drinking.
This is true.
Okay. I have to keep remembering this.
So maybe we, instead of drinking a bottle of wine, maybe we should start off with shots of tequila.
Oh my. I would be okay. Plastered by the night, and the conversation would not be good. I mean, it would be fabulous.
It would be good for our podcast listeners, not necessarily for Renee's
for
reputation.
Me, absolutely not.
She would not find the young gentleman that she is looking for.
No, I would not. Terrible. It's terrible because I'm spending so much time alone. I'm realizing how terrible it is to be lonely. I'm trying to get used to this. It's not easy.
Let me tell you something. It takes a good year.
Yeah. Well, it's been three.
Well,
it's been three. I'm the kind of person. See, I get the sense, Matt, though, you are, for the most part, like in your private world, okay with being okay, right?
What do you mean?
Like by yourself, alone.
Not like, as much as you might think.
No, well, not as much, but I'm not used to spending any time alone.
Well,
at all.
I think just because.
Do you not? I mean, I don't know, because I see when I talk to you, I get the sense that you're fairly outgoing when you meet people,
uh-huh.
But you're not just going to like go out.
I don't feel the need to, if, you know, it's been a while. I tell you the truth, when I was a younger person, I always felt very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just like anything else, you just get used to it.
I'm trying.
You really
trying.
Don't like it. I mean, I don't mind being alone, and I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it really bothers me. It almost bothers me how much I'm used to being alone.
Mm.
Like, I've actually taken roommates because I did not want to be –
somebody else in the house.
Somebody else where I don't want to feel like I couldn't live with another human being
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. No, I hear that. See, and that's
– I have to resist – I could very easily retreat and be alone all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I'm not like that.
I mean, people are coming to me wanting to be my friend or do stuff or things like that.
I'm not used to it.
And if I wanted to do something, I actually have to go out and find it and make my own. I have a few friends that actually say, let's do something or other things. But, you know, it's not like, you know, one thing, if you're like a cute chick, there's always guys or people wanting to do stuff, things mm-hmm. like that. But if you're just an average schlubby guy, no one really gives a shit. You have to make your own thing.
The thing with me is I love my alone time. Like, I totally appreciate my alone time. But for me, I'm so used to doing, like, I have my alone time because I can set my alone time. You know what I mean? Like, I do everything during the day. And then once I get home, I have my me time. That's kind of what I'm used to. And then I go to bed. Now I'm spending more time alone during the day than I'm ever used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the part that I'm trying to get used to, is being alone more during the day. I'm okay at night. Once the sun goes down, I love...
Let's put this
way. I miss having someone around, but during the day, it's really hard. So that's the part that I'm trying to get used to.
If I come home on Friday...
Mm-hmm.
I could sit in my house all weekend,
mm-hmm.
and no one would wonder where was Matt.
Okay, no, that won't happen with me.
I could sit at home all weekend, and
I didn't call my sister for like 6 hours, and by the end, I had rehearsal Tuesday, and by the end of rehearsal Tuesday night at 11 o'clock, she was like, you need to call me. Like, where are you? Are you okay? And that's because I spend so much time either, you know, talking to my friends or my sister. No. It's during the daytime hours. It's because I'm used to working. And mm-hmm. right now, especially right now, because I'm out of work, this is week number three.
Especially since the nanny thing is...
Yeah, so I have no more... So I haven't been working for 3 weeks. My nannying jobs are done, and I haven't been able to find work because I have some issues with paperwork. So I've been home, for the most part, all day when I'm used to having a job. And so that's the part that's hard for me.
You know, really... My default position is of being alone. That's like, if I do nothing, that's where I will end up.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to actively pursue not being, I have to actually pursue that. Like, I'll go work at the coffee shop just because
it's,
if I sit at home and work, I'll just be alone.
Yeah. That's where I'm at now. That's where I'm having a hard time.
And I go to work and there's people and it takes a lot of time, but I'm not quite, you know, my job's a, well, I have a boss and I have coworkers.
Do you generally work like on your own, like your own, like, are you with a team?
I have a team.
Okay.
And I have other
teams. Are you guys constantly communicating? I get the sense. Because when I had breakfast with you last week, it was like,
what do you mean? Oh, like,
like, are people constantly calling you, like, to check in, or?
Or, like, where's this, and how do we do that?
Yeah, there's a problem with this. Yeah.
That's pretty common.
Okay, so throughout your work day, you are continuously, whether it's whatever, you're communicating with other people.
Let's put it this way. I am criticized because I do not communicate enough.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay, I get that.
But, you know, the thing is, I have to... You know, when I'm into doing what I'm doing, I don't really want to, you know, I'm sort of sucked into something and I'm that person that I really don't want to talk. I mean, I don't want to sit there and write emails about what I just did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really that excited about that. That's something I don't like to do.
No, I understand that.
You know, but my default position would be alone. Like if I did nothing, I would, some people actually have to blow other people off just to be by themselves. I have to actually, if I don't want to be alone, I actually have to pursue other people.
No, I hear you.
You know, I have to actually go to the coffee shop. I have to actually make appointments with friends.
I don't, and I'm on the other position, except I don't blow people off. But
all I'm saying is, I literally have to, you know, people call me up, really, like, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying blow people off as in not show up, but I'm just saying it's like, if someone calls me and says, let's do something, I don't feel like it tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get that many of those calls.
Yeah.
I'm the person, you know, if I don't actually call somebody, say, hey, let's have brunch.
It won't
happen.
Yeah. No, I hear that.
It just won't happen.
And I have to, okay. So I'm the complete opposite. Cause, well, with the exception of my friends, no, once I'm home from work, that's me time. So you have me from, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning till 11. My curfew's 11. I've set my own curfew. So you have me from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. to do anything you want. After that, I am of no use to you.
Mm.
That's what my friends know because they know me.
But I do go out sometimes. Like, yeah. That's something about my friend Patricia.
Birthdays,
we go out on, and you know, I'm the kind of person that.
Special,
you know,
events, I'll go out.
My thing is like Fridays. That's the night I go out. Like, yep. If I go out, it's usually Friday.
Okay.
And the funny thing is I will not come home. Like, I'll get out of work. I'll go to a coffee shop. I'll hang out 7 o'clock. I'll go out with friends. I won't come home till 1-2 in the morning.
Yep.
If I stay out or whenever.
Yeah, it's like,
I do not come, like, some people come home, get ready, go out. I'm like, you know, if I'm home at 10 o'clock at night, I am not leaving. It's just not happening.
No, I hear that.
I'm like, I'm too comfortable. The cat's on my lap. I'm watching something on TV. You know, I'm just like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to bed.
See, for me, it's like birthday parties. Like, that's my one exception to the rule.
Mm.
If I can manage to stay out till 1 o'clock for a birthday party for you know, a good friend, then yes, that's my exception to the rule. Birthday parties, wedding, bachelorette parties, excuse me. Or
bachelorette parties.
Yeah, something special. I'll go out for something special, even if it's like twice in 1 week. But beyond birthdays and something special, I really, no. Like, you can't convince me that you want to dance on a Friday night, and so we should go out. No.
You know, Fridays are mine and going out night.
Yeah.
No, because if I have a little bit too much fun, I got the weekend to recover.
Well, it also depends on if I have a show or not.
And I have to work on Sundays.
Yeah.
I'm working on Sundays a lot of times.
I don't work weekends at all.
And so,
that's the good thing.
Like, Saturdays are different. Like, Saturdays are limited.
That's true. Okay.
Because I go out, don't get me wrong, I have gone out Saturdays. But, like, you know, I don't, like, my friend goes, let's go to the Clash of the Titans.
Okay, yep.
I went a few times, and I'm like, this is taking too long. It's like 10:30.
I'm done.
I've got work in the morning. I have to be on my game. It's not like I just slough off. And
I stayed up till 1:30 on Saturday.
And I could stay up late. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
I stay up late.
Two.
Like, I can stay up pretty late at night. Like,
I can't.
If I'm farting around the house,
no.
I'll like fart around, and what'll happen is, like, I'll be like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh shit, I got to do X, Y, and Z. I'll get up and start doing it. Next thing I know, it's like 12:30. And don't get me wrong, I don't go to bed. I don't have to go to bed early, but like going out, like I fuck around the house.
Yeah. No, I can hear that. I can understand that. Sometimes, see, most of these, like if I'm working, by the time I get home, like I make dinner, by like 10, I'm ready to chill. When I have nothing to do, when I haven't really done anything all day, by like 11 o'clock, I'm getting my second wind, and that's my problem. If I don't have something to do during the day, by the end of the night, I haven't done anything to be exhausted. And so I get my second wind, and that keeps me up till 3 or 4 or all night.
I'll start messing around about something, and next thing I know, it's like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Where in the morning.
Where did that time go?
Or I'll watch some movie, or some chore has to be done. Or I'll start like, oh, shit, I got to what this is about. I'll be on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
What time do you normally go to work?
Anywhere between 8 and 9.
Okay.
Well, back to Moxie.
Back to Moxie.
Hmm. I did find I did a little investigative journalism.
Oh, goodness.
And I did find a few. I did was privy to like a brainstorming session when the sales for Moxie were down.
Okay.
They had some ideas, alternative uses for Moxie.
Okay.
Let's see. Clean the rust off the blade from a skidder come springtime.
Clean the rust off.
You know what a skidder is, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
When spring comes, you got to Moxie cleans the rust off the blade.
Okay.
I've heard that one. You know, it's good.
Like, is it proven?
Renee.
What?
I made it up.
Oh, sorry. I'm missing that.
It's a comedy bit.
Whatever.
I actually wrote this.
You wrote... Well, no, that's not what you said. You said... Oh, my gosh. Okay, never mind. I'm listening.
It's Continue. A joke.
I get it. I'm slow. Whatever.
Okay.
Next.
Next one is salon infomercial as miracle cleaning product.
Like Lime Away? Or Lime, whatever that stuff is?
Or, you know... Rust Away or whatever hell
Rust
it is.
Rust Away. Mm-hmm.
Third reason I found out.
Mm-hmm.
Use the sugar-free version to spray on mosquito netting because even the bugs won't touch that stuff.
I like number 3. Yes.
Got one more.
Yes.
Number 4 and number 1 alternative use for Moxie.
Mm-hmm.
Get a government contract selling it in unmarked containers to plant in a Middle Eastern country so they could be accused of possessing chemical weapons.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That's
no, funny. Still like number 3. Number 3 is my favorite.
I was going to leave that one. That was going to be last.
Yeah, but, no. I like
I should have probably said that one.
I like number 3. That works for me.
Okay.
Moxie's so gross.
It's also really good if you have to clean the rust off your car.
It's so gross.
That's like a main joke. It's sort of like, yeah, you love it or you use it to clean the rust off your car.
Yeah, I don't understand how people drink it. I really don't. And I've tried it.
And it does taste like ass.
It's awful. It's just awful. And I know people who drink it it's their drink. It's like they're drinking a Mountain Dew or Coke or Pepsi. It's amazing to me. I'm like, how? And they have no teeth, but.
Well, you know, they drink Moxie on the weekdays and Alan's coffee, brandy, and milk on the weekends.
So gross.
It's like the second, the number 2 main drink.
Yes.
Alan coffee, brandy, and milk.
Alan's coffee.
If you love
brandy.
That, if you love that with milk, you drink that with milk on a regular basis,
then you will be fine with Moxie.
You are a real Mainer.
Yes, you are.
You're a real Mainer regardless of where you're from.
Absolutely. If you can deal with Alan's coffee,
if you love
brandy,
Alan's coffee, brandy, and milk, you are a real Mainer.
You are a real Mainer.
That's
and
only...
if you can handle Moxie and Alan's, then I give you serious props.
You know.
Serious props.
That's the only breaks the main rule.
Wow.
You know, your grandparents, if Alan's coffee, brandy, and milk is your favorite drink,
Blech.
You are a real Mainer.
Blech. So gross.
Doesn't matter where you're from.
Nope. Absolutely. I will wholeheartedly agree with you on that one.
That shit is gross.
It's so nasty.
I am not a real Mainer, so.
No, I will never be a real Mainer. I love this state, which is why I suffer through the winters to be here, but I will never be a real Mainer. Oh my gosh, that's so gross. Ugh. Okay, so do we want to do funeral strippers? Is that what's next?
No, I think next on the list is romance novels.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh, yeah, that's right. Backwards. My apologies. Romance novels seduce women into unsafe sex, says British Journal. This is by Susan Donaldson James. Sure. Where's this from? Oh, ABC News. Excuse me. Damn Me to Hell or Take Me to Heaven, but for God's sake, do it now, writes romance author Nora Roberts with breathless sexual overtones in her 2008 novel, Taming Natasha and Luring a Lady. In the book, heroine Sydney Hayward inherits a family business and falls in love with a dark-haired stranger who arrives on her doorstep. But first, she must confront a disaster in her past.
Let's read it this way. She must confront a disaster in her past.
I'll let you do that. Anything quoted, Matt?
Okay, I got the quotes.
Awful. Awesome. Excuse me, not awful. Awesome. Roberts, who has written 209 books and was the first author to be inducted into the Romance Hall of Fame, Writers Hall of Fame, excuse me, is a master of the genre, one that racks up $1.36 billion in annual sales, according to industry statistics. That is ridiculous, you lonely ass housewives.
You know what? This is not the first time someone has brought this up.
Oh my god!
Romance novels are the female version of porn.
They are, because we like stories. We appreciate stories. But $1.36 billion, ladies.
You know, I remember when I was like younger and I went to sold all my cheesy science fiction books at the used bookstore.
Yeah,
there was some really semi-overweight middle-aged woman's trying to score some romance novels.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when I finish my next book, I'm gonna read a romance novel. I've never read one. That's my next thing.
A bodice ripper, as I like to refer to them in the
parlance. A what?
A bodice ripper.
A bodice ripper.
Yes, B-O-D-I-C-E.
I don't even know R-I-P-P. What that means.
A bodice is sort of like a...
Well, I know what a bodice is.
A bodice ripper, because if you read those old romance novels, uh-huh. It's like the man takes her. And rips
and,
her clothes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
Now.
I get it. Okay. So romance novels have been the object of desertion.
Word would be derision.
Wow. Let's try that again. Romance novels. I can't read because I'm slightly tipsy. Romance novels have long been the object of what? Derision?
Derision.
Derision. But Roberts has recently given the genre academic...
gravitas.
Thank you. She donated $100,000 to the McDaniel College in Maryland, located near where her hometown in Caddysville, to offer a minor in romance literature and creative writing course. Look at that. But now Roberts and other writers who offer sensuous characters and steamy dialogue are under fire by the health professionals who say that these novels can influence women to make bad relationship choices and seduce them into risky sex and infidelity. Or, I mean, in my case, I like to say, just have some damn control, women.
Keep your legs crossed.
Self-control. Self-control. Nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do. Well... okay, let me take that back, because there are some cases where that's possible. An essay in Britain's Journal of Family Planning and Reproductive Healthcare says that romance novels portray an idealized vision of love and sex.
Idealized vision
of love and sex, and some women may not be able to distinguish fact from fantasy.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, that's sort of like...
what?
It's sort of like the old lady version. Like, I've talked about this a few times. Like the old lady version that watches like the soap operas,
mm-hmm.
and they actually see the actor on the street, like the bad actor.
Yeah,
and they
holler
at them like they're real.
Yeah, the exact real
part. Like that's okay. Who they are.
Gotcha.
That's probably sort of a similar syndrome.
Okay. Susan, is it Quilliam?
Quilliam.
Quilliam. Correct. A British sexologist and advice columnist writes in her July 6 essay that women who read romance novels tend to suspend.
Nope. It's in quotes.
Sorry. What?
Suspend reality.
My apologies. In their real relationships. Although romance readers say that they know the difference.
When it comes to making life decisions, are they not more tempted to let the heart dictate simply because they are romance fans?
Oh, wait. There's more. How do I get to the
She told NBCNews.com.
There's nothing else for me.
Then there's another quote.
Where?
Well, you're supposed to read, she told NBCNews.com. That was like, because it wasn't in quotes.
No. I'm telling you, there's nothing here else on my screen. I can't read further. It says page 1 of 3, but underneath is nothing.
There should be like another click that says page 2. Okay.
Yeah, I can.
I can handle the rest of it.
Please finish, because I can't get to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Women and men need to be less driven by emotion and making sensible life decisions. Are they not more tempted to let the heart dictate because they are simply our romance fans? She told ABCsNews.com since I just read that again. Oh, here we go. Women and men need to be less driven by emotion and making sensible life choices, said Quilliam, a respected health professional who updated the classic guide, The Joys of Sex, or Joy of Sex. Romance novels.
I like that book.
Romance novels are great fun. I used to read them myself, but society's value of romantic novels needs to be taken into account when we as health professionals look at our patients and the decisions they make about their sex and love lives, she said. Quilliam cites research at Indiana University that found romance novels rarely talk about condom use. And within these scenarios, the heroine typically rejects the idea of a barrier between her and her man.
Oh my gosh.
And her and the hero, sorry. To be blunt, we like condoms for protection and for contraception. And they don't, writes Quilliam, who cites a recent survey that only 11.5% of romantic novels studied mention condom use.
Wow.
The essay generated press in Britain, here in the United States, stirring strong emotions online. One website devoted to the romance genre, Smart Bitches, Trashy Books, called the article Bollocks, Rubbish, Horse Crap, All of It. We have some pretty outspoken fans of romance novels.
Wait, what was the name of that thing?
Smart Bitches, Trashy Books.
Okay, thank you.
We have some pretty outspoken fans of romance novels in our community, said Sarah Wendell, a Montclair, New Jersey romance writer and co-founder of the website. Devoted women read them and write them and have taken a lot of crap for a long time for their love of the genre. Nothing is more insulting than to be told we are sexually unsatisfied and less intelligent just because we prefer that kind of fiction. Let me tell you something. Paybacks are a bitch. And I'll tell you why I said that. Because you crazy bitches probably holler at guys because they're looking at porn. And guess what? What do you think you're reading? It's porn.
It's porn, ladies. It's porn.
It's a little more socially acceptable than big butts and boobs or barely legal.
It's still porn, ladies.
But it's still porn.
It's still porn. I don't know what you think you're reading, but it's still porn. It's a tamed version of porn.
It's porn that appeals to the female.
Absolutely.
Libido.
Wow. I'm on that website and there's an article called Help a Bitch Out.
That's almost as good as like the,
oh my gosh.
That's almost as good as the Craigslist we read last week.
Wow.
Or 2 weeks ago. Wendell said readers were particularly irritated because the survey of romance novels that Quilliam referenced was 11 years old and sampled only 78 books in the Cleveland area.
Oh my gosh.
Those novels were written in the 1980s and mm-hmm. 1990s before public education about sexually transmitted diseases. Condoms mentioned in romance novels, the contemporary romance novel, they say, is much more grounded in reality. As for condoms, either they refer to specifically or you know the foil packet reference. Said Wendell, author of the 2009 romance novel, Beyond Heaving Bosoms. That tells you basically what they're interested in.
Yeah.
If they don't address contraception or condoms. Basically, if that was a male thing, it would be beyond coming on the tits. That would be the male version of that title.
Okay.
If you flip the script a little.
No, I got you.
If they don't address contraception or condoms, we notice and think they're stupid in the AIDS area, said Wendell. Whose second novel? Everything I Know About Love, I Learned from Romance Novels, comes out in October. I wish we could find a picture of this woman. I have a feeling.
What's her name? I have to find her. Let me get back to the article.
Wendell,
okay. I'll find her.
What's her name? Oh, Sarah Wendell. I absorbed so much from reading Female Autonomy and Satisfaction and Confidence. She said, the woman always wins. Quilliam, who was surprised at the backlash of her essay, was not written as a provocative caveat for health professionals. I pushed a lot of buttons, she said. In her work with young women, Quilliam said she encounters women who get swept away by emotion. One of the things that happen is that they enter a dysfunctional romantic relationship and the emotions can be very strong. And they think it's strong, it's true love. Even Nora Roberts herself came to the defense of the genre with her usual quick wit. I read Cinderella, too, and I am not expecting a prince to come. She's not that bad.
No.
She could hook up with a nerd, not a problem.
Yeah.
She could have the nerd husband.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Absolutely. She's not that bad at all.
No.
Nope.
Maybe because she went on an exercise program and lost weight.
Well, all the pictures seem to be about the same weight for the most part. Variation.
There's no the MySpace/Facebook shots where you look skinnier than you really are.
No, I can't see any of those. I'll see if I can find any.
You know, where you tuck your chin in.
You're terrible.
Or you look like you sort of cock your head to the side. I've actually met people on sites that look a lot thinner. And, you know, actually that doesn't really bother me so much. I'm like, I understand why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really that pissed. It doesn't really piss me off that much.
See, I've met a lot of people who are the complete opposite.
Who are hotter on person than they are online?
Yeah.
I believe that too. That goes both ways.
Yeah, I'm like, how did that, wait, that, okay, that works. She looks like she does a lot of work. There's all kinds of, wow. She's got some good credentials.
She's bigger. We'll get back to the, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry, there she's bigger. Yes, that's a bad picture.
She's a big girl that uses the toys.
I am not commenting on that. I am not. There she's kind of cute.
That's not the bad thing.
Okay, see, there's all kinds of romance, like the covers of romance novels. There's a bunch of them, like, associated with her name.
Yes.
Beyond Heaving Bosoms is one of them.
I used to actually know someone who used to write, like, Sweet Valley High books.
I don't know anything about.
They're like teen. Teen books.
Everything Love.
And it was like a contract. I think they got paid like by the word or some crazy shit.
Everything I Know About Love, I Learned from Romance Novels.
They should end that with the.
That's her book.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should end that with the cab like dot dot dot.
Yeah. See, that's my best friend because her mother, whenever anybody would start to kiss on TV, her mother would change the channel.
Dot dot dot. I wonder why I'm still single.
Yes. That's and I really love her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, holy crap.
Why am I still single?
When she talks about the man that she's looking for, and I realize, I'm like, it's because her mother never let her get past kissing. So everything she knows about love
and
relationships,
person?
You do.
Oh, and I saw some Facebook posting. We'll have to talk about this one later.
Anything she knows about men or relationships, the way she looks at men is based on what she knows from TV.
Oh, yeah.
Because her mother would never let her see the real thing. And so every time she looks at a man, I'm like, oh my gosh, she has this like idealistic relationship in her head of what's gonna happen. I'm like, oh, how are you talking about marriage after a week because of TV?
That and you've never actually been allowed to feel any kind of emotions for anybody before.
No, No, it's so interesting.
I've seen this happen, not on even for guys.
Really?
Oh yeah, when I was on the ship, dude.
Oh.
When I was in the Coast Guard, see, that was like the that was definitely the human petri dish of male behavior.
Ew. Don't say it like that. The human petri dish of male behavior. That sounds gross.
The whole range of male behavior was on a ship, like from being like the guy that would sleep with everything.
Oh my gosh.
To the guy who totally put women on a pedestal.
Yeah, the whole
range of that
is all on a ship.
On a ship of guys.
Holy mother.
Of men, and they're mostly in their 20s, like late teens.
And I can only imagine what happened when you guys like docked.
Well, you know, but this dude I knew, you know, I actually probably may have told the story about the stinky dude where I posted the stick ups on his rack because he smelled
remember.
So bad.
I can't remember.
He was from like Nebraska or someplace.
Oh gosh, ew.
And he met this really cute girl in Australia, and she was actually pretty attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like instantly in love.
Of course.
So I asked him, "Did you sleep with her?" He goes, "I would never do that." I'm like, dude, come on. You're leaving town.
No, ew, Matt, terrible influence. You're a terrible influence.
I'm like, come on. You're leaving, you know, it's like you're in town for 3 days. You are never coming to Australia ever again in your entire motherfucking life.
Terrible influence. Ew.
Did you sleep with her?
Ew.
Oh, no, I would never do that. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But do not talk about love.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
Yeah, no, that's no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
At least if you slept with her, you might have had something to show for your shit.
Have you ever had a one-night stand?
Yes.
I see. I've never had a one-night stand.
Well, let's put it this way. I've had one-night stands turn into like 6 months.
Oh, okay. So then it's not a one-night stand.
I take that back. I have actually had a one-night stand, sort of.
Like, sort of.
Well, I met somebody online.
Okay.
Met like in a coffee shop, and then the next day I slept with her.
Okay. Well, that's still a one-night stand.
Almost a one-night stand.
I've never had one. I don't know.
And I called her a few times since then, but we never like hooked up again.
Okay. So it technically was like a one-time deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so then you've had a one-night stand.
Yeah. So it's sort of a one-night stand.
Okay.
It's not like somebody I met in a bar, you know, slept with her and never talked to her again.
No, I couldn't.
But it was like on the second meeting, I guess you would consider, I think the internet parlance would be serial dating, I guess.
Would that be no for two dates? No, I don't think that's serial dating.
Serial dating means, you know, you meet a woman online, you sleep with her, and you move on to the next.
Oh, is that what that means?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. See, I don't understand any of those things. It's terrible.
You just hang out at the fetish website.
Yeah, I hang out there, but I don't do anything with them. No, it's starting to be, actually, you know what? Since I've been on FetLife, I've seriously changed my approach on FetLife. So initially I went not to like find anybody. No, I went knowing that I wanted to find out some things and see where my boundaries were.
Okay.
And I figured the best way to do that is to go to a fetish site. I would very quickly find out what my boundaries were. And so I've been on FetLife for almost 6 months now.
Yep.
And my profile has changed dramatically.
Okay.
In the 6 months that I've been there. So, yeah, no, it's not looking for anybody or anything. No.
You're just looking to have a little bit of fun.
No, not even that. I needed to find out some things about myself.
Okay.
And I needed to assess, you know, well, I've been talking to you about how I work, and I'm kind of like a plan A, plan B, plan C kind of person. And so I just needed to find some things out about myself and see where my boundaries
are. You know, you're going to find it a great guy to be your...
No, not on FetLife.
Your partner for life.
No.
Or you're going to like step on things for some horny guy for cash.
No, I never went to FetLife to find anybody.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, one or two things. You're going to find, not on FetLife necessarily.
Oh, okay.
You have two modes.
Okay.
One mode is find the great partner of your love of your life. Oh, come on. Knock it off, cats. So you're going to find a great love of your life. You're going to have the white picket fence and everything. Or you're going to step on things for guys on FetLife for money.
No.
I know. I just
ew. Terrible. No. That to me is considered prostitution.
You're gonna step on bugs for guys for money in the high heel shoes.
Oh, bugs? Oh, I could deal with bugs.
They'll pay you money for that.
Okay, that I could deal with.
Okay, that's what I mean.
But there are other things on FetLife that you don't even know about.
I probably do know about them. I still feel like talking about them.
Okay, good. But yeah, no. And that's the other thing. Like, I was thinking of possibly figuring out, like, being a dom. And once I started researching and I realized that all these girls are, for the most part, about are just money. And it's just awful what they'll do for money. Oh, my gosh. Well,
you know, they're just capitalists.
Ew. I'm good. I'm good. The original Doms were not about money. And it wasn't about sexual gratification. And that's what it's turned into. Mm-hmm. And it's just terrible.
Well, but there's actually sites where foot fetish guys pay people to step on things and take pictures of it.
Absolutely. I've done fetish shoots. Yeah. I told you, I'm a model. I've been modeling for 10 years. So I've done fetish shoots. And yeah, it's incredible what feet. Who knew that people were attracted to feet?
No one's attracted to my feet. Let's put it that way.
Well, I have a four and a half in kids. So I have very tiny feet. And I personally, I know I do a pedicure every other week or so on myself, but I didn't understand foot fetishes.
Oh man, that's like the most common fetish.
Yeah.
That's like the most common fetish outside.
It's kind of incredible.
It's almost innocent and tame.
I didn't understand it until I got to FetLife that there were things such as, and it's funny because there's a gentleman who I know, who I've known for over a year now, and I found him on FetLife totally by accident, who I know in my personal life, and found out that he had a foot fetish. And it's just been so totally interesting talking to him.
And the sad thing is, people have talked about foot fetishes so much, they've actually become sort of sexually appealing to me. I'm not really with the feet. I'm like, it was talked about so much. Like, this is kind of sexy.
It is, though. Like, I've been looking at like pictures and I get it. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, that's okay, I get it. I didn't understand foot fetishes. Holy mother of goodness. There are tons of people who appreciate. My sister has a foot, what do you call it? The opposite of a foot fetish.
She has an arm fetish?
No. She's disturbed by feet.
Oh, disturbed by feet.
Like, you can't, even as her sister, I can't put my feet next to her. She will scream.
She has a foot phobia.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for, a phobia. She has a foot phobia. It's awful. And see, I grew up with her, so I've always thought of feet as like, okay, she has a phobia. Yeah. And then getting to FET to understand foot fetishes. I'm like, and you know, the gentleman that I know in real life, who I happened to find on FetLife, reading his stories about his foot fetish, I was like, oh my gosh, the way you describe it is kind of sensual. I can't even lie.
I'm kind of turned on.
Yeah, that's totally sensual. I absolutely never imagined that people would like feet. Do you know what I get commented all the time are my heels. I have birthmarks on the mm-hmm. bottom of my feet.
Okay.
And yeah, that's a huge thing on FET. The fact that I have I have these very large birthmarks on the bottom of my feet, and they love it. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Men are men and women.
Men and women. Mostly men, only two women. I have 14 friends because I'm very private. So
you're very particular.
I'm very particular.
So you let into the fetish world.
Absolutely, I'm even particular in the fetish. Do you know what I realized? I'm weird for the fetish world because of my celibacy, because of my lack of wanting sex. The fetish world, I'm not accepted for the most part in the fetish world.
You're just a frigid bitch who likes to tease people.
No, it's not about teasing. I mean, I appreciate teasing. Don't get me wrong.
No. You tease them. See.
I do. No, I love teasing. I'm very
good
at it. You
like teasing, but they're like...
I'm very good at it.
You're like, yeah, she's just a tease.
No, but it would be one thing if I was a tease and was having sex. Then they would be okay with me. The fact that I'm a tease and not having sex...
Well, you just don't deliver on the goods.
If I delivered for someone, anyone, that's the part I'm finding out. They don't understand how it is that I can be a tease and not be having sex with anyone. It doesn't even have to be them. They don't understand how there's no anything. I'm weird for FetLife. Go figure, right? I've always been a weird one, but I thought at least at FetLife that they would get me. Nope, they don't even get me there. I'm weird for them.
I get you, Ray. Actually, believe it or not.
Well, I like that. I think that's why we work well together.
Now you want to be in love. You don't want to. Have sex.
I don't appreciate anything without feeling something. It doesn't work for me. I don't know how to connect to that at all. At all, which is why I'm single. Because I can't give without love.
Okay.
Yeah. And now that I'm celibate till marriage, it's just going to be that much more difficult.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, here we go.
Are we moving along?
We are moving along the story.
Where are we moving to? We are moving to funeral strippers, right?
No, no. We still have more left of the story.
Oh, is there more?
Oh, yeah. We are pretty smart.
Romance. Oh, that's right.
We know the difference between reality and fiction, she said. We read what we read because we enjoy it, whatever it is, she said. I don't think that people who read Agatha Christie that go out and try to solve murder cases. If Miss Marple can do it, I can do it. People are just not that dumb. That was, what's her face?
People are really dumb.
Nora Roberts.
Okay. Go Nora.
McDaniel College, which has accepted Robert's gift.
Of 100,000.
Said it aims to raise the profile of romance novels and to reinforce Robert's reputation as a master of the craft.
Oh my gosh.
The college said it will build a literary library collection of American romance literature, including all of her novels, and it will hold an international conference on romance novels in November. Let's put it this way. I don't see... Larry Flint, owner of Hustler.
Isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Is he really still
alive? Oh, yeah,
alive?
He's still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
Even
after the accident?
Oh, yeah, he's been alive.
I didn't
survived.
Know
oh,
that.
Yeah, he's been
See,
still alive.
I watched the movie, and I can't remember it wholeheartedly, but
he
just
did not die. I was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast, and he was a guest just like a couple months ago.
No, how old is he?
I think he's like 70-something.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
Evil runs rampant.
I would not call Larry Flint evil. He's not even close.
Well, he is Larry Flint. He is Larry Flint.
He's just a no bullshit guy. I mean, he does not, you know.
He has no boundaries.
Well, he has boundaries. It's just not
what boundaries?
About sex.
No, he has no boundaries.
You know, he's the guy. I mean, I don't read Hustler or that shit.
I don't. I've never opened.
But
one.
He does. He pushes the boundaries. That's his. His role in life.
No, I think.
And nowadays, he's relatively tame.
Okay.
Actually, truthfully, I talked to a friend of mine. It was her boyfriend, and he had like an interview with like Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Playboy, the magazine, right? Mm-hmm. That's one image.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of subsidiaries like online and shit.
Yeah.
That's like completely different.
Different. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that until a couple years ago.
Yeah. When I was in college in Boston, somebody told me about that. And I did a
project. And Hustler has the same thing, actually.
Yes.
They do not make money from the magazine.
No. Oh, my. No, it's too much. Look, I don't know. I guess I'm a pretty open person, and I'm a very, you know, open person in, as far as I don't have much to hide and I in that sense, but... Things like Hustler to me, sex is a very sacred thing. I've always thought of sex as a very sacred thing, which is why one night stands to me just couldn't happen because it's no. It's a big part of who I am. That's something I'm giving to another person. I couldn't ever. Gross. Absolutely. It's too big a thing for me. I've always known or always felt like that was something that was super important about me, and it was something that was sacred. And so I just ew.
You know, seriously, there was about of celibacy probably longer than you've been out of puberty.
Probably, I imagine that.
Which is pretty unusual for your average person.
Oh, yeah. And mine's going to... I have a feeling that mine's... Yeah.
So, you know, I know where you're coming
from. No, I hear you. And that's what it is. I'm just trying to get used to it because I know. I already know what's coming.
I don't know. Renee, you talk a good game.
What do you mean I talk a good game?
You know...
There's no game.
I'm not saying there's no game. What I'm saying is... I think that, you know, I don't think you're going to wait till marriage, but I have a
Absolutely.
Feeling. I have a feeling you're going to find someone you really love. And
I'm
you're
not
sleep with
having
them
sex before I. No.
Before
it's
the wedding.
It's not happening. See, here's the thing that you need to understand about me, Matt. I have a self-control that most people can't even imagine. Okay? I love control. I love testing myself. I love pushing myself to the next limit, to the next boundary. Sex is not something I crave. Sex is not something I want. Sex is not something that I think about on a daily basis. So there's no issue for me to give it up. What I want is companionship. What I want is someone to be around. What I crave is someone to be there. I love hugging and kissing and cuddling. Sex, I can live without.
What I'm saying, trying to tell you is, you know, it's almost, let's put it this way, in today's society, I can see not having a one-night stand. And waiting until marriage is the flip side of that coin, it's just as dysfunctional.
Why?
Because it's like you're waiting for like a piece of paper.
No, I'm waiting for somebody to be, see, it's not about the paper. It's not about the marriage.
What I'm saying is, if you're actually waiting, you know, it's one thing to, date somebody for a while and then say, okay, I'm going to make a life with this person or they're going to be here, you know, I'm at the point where I want to be, I want to be with this person, but to actually wait until you're married.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost as dysfunctional as a one-night stand.
Explain that to me. You have to explain that to me.
What I'm saying is wait until marriage is sort of waiting too long for sex and doing it too quickly. It's just flip sides of the same coin.
But see, the difference is I don't understand why. For me, I feel like if somebody is in a place where I am, where I can say I appreciate sex, I understand why it's important in a relationship, and I'm really effing good at it. Like, really good at it. I need somebody who it doesn't affect them in any way. I need somebody who can say to me, I love this. I enjoy this. However, it doesn't affect any other part of my life. It is something I do with the person I truly love. How is that dysfunctional to say that I don't need it?
Actually saying that I like
it. I want it. I crave it. But I don't need it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, what I'm saying
I
is,
need somebody who,
what you're saying is inherently fine.
Okay.
But waiting until marriage?
Why not?
It's sort of like, I don't know. I could say in old-timey society it makes sense because that's just what you did.
But see, that's my point. If I don't find somebody who can live up to my standards, I'm good. If you can't wait until marriage, then I don't care that you can't wait till marriage. I'm not having sex to marriage.
God, you, I think you are going to, I mean, I don't say, you know, I'm saying someone, it's one thing to wait until marriage. It's one thing to wait for a figure of someone else going to be around for the long haul and sleep with them. But to wait until marriage, that's almost like, it's like setting the barrier incredibly so high that you'll never find anybody.
That's fine with me.
I mean, you're,
that's fine with
me. I'm saying it's set an artificial, but you may turn down the best relationship with your wife.
That's fine with me.
Someone will not sleep with you.
But that doesn't bother me. That's the point. If you can't hold out for me, then I don't care.
But I'm not saying, but I mean, that might be an impossibly high bar.
I don't think it's impossible because I can do it.
Because you can do it.
Then if you can't meet, that's my point. If you can't do what I can do, then I don't care that you can't do it. I don't care.
What I'm trying to say is you may be throwing away something that's really great because you set really high. I mean,
then I'm okay with that.
The bar is too high.
That's fine. That's my bar. I'm not willing to compromise. If you can't stick up to my bar, then I don't feel bad that you can't.
And there's guys who will put the time in, but they're not going to commit their life with you forever without having sex.
They don't have to. Then walk away. If you get to a point.
But I'm just telling you, guys that are great guys that you would have a great life with.
But it doesn't faze me.
You were turning them away because you set the bar too high.
I don't think it's too high.
Well,
that's
maybe
my point.
You do not think it's too high.
If you can't live up to my standard, then I don't care that you can't live up to my standard. If it's too high for you, I don't think of you ill. If you can't do what I can do, then it doesn't matter to me. That's what I'm saying. If it's too high for you, then it's too high. Okay. Then you go find somebody that's at your level. I'm saying I am willing to do this. If you can't do it.
What I'm saying is your demand for your purity is not exactly the best strategy to take.
I know.
For your long-term happiness.
If I don't get it, then I have kids by myself. That's fine. If I have a life by myself. So
I'm telling you, what I'm trying to tell you is that is as counterproductive as sleeping with somebody on the first date.
I don't think so. You may not. I'm sorry. No, okay. No, I get it. I get what you're saying. That's a lie. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Absolutely. It is as counterproductive. Yes. But if you don't come up to it, then that's okay with me. I'm not saying what I'm saying is this is my standard. If you don't like it or can't meet it, then it doesn't change my opinion of how I live. If I don't ever find somebody and end up raising children by myself, it doesn't change my happiness. So if you can't live up to my standard, then you don't live up to my standard. That's okay. I'll be by myself and raise children by myself because I know I can do it. I don't need anybody to tell me whether they can or can't. If you can't, then you can't. Okay. That's fine. I'll do it by myself.
What I'm trying to tell you, Renee, is
I don't need another person.
That you
mm-hmm.
or you will find somebody who will meet your standard.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they can meet your standard is that they're so messed up.
But that's my point. Nope. And if you're too messed up, if you're so messed, no.
What I'm trying to tell you is they are so messed up
mm-hmm.
that they can wait.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say they're messed up, like messed up. What I'm saying is,
what do you mean by messed up?
Sort of like they have a twisted vision of how, you know, things should be. That they may not be the best guy for you.
If somebody's in a place where their vision of sex is to a point where they have a negative emotion towards sex, I can't be with them. I don't have a negative emotion towards sex anymore. I can be with somebody who appreciates that sex doesn't rule their world and that they can go without it. But if for me myself, I feel like in the last 3 years, and I could be wrong. I could my vision of me could be completely skewed.
And you feel that way now, but maybe 2 years down the road, you may not feel that way.
I don't think so. I don't want sex. I don't need sex. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't crave it. I like it. I appreciate it. But there's nothing about me on a daily basis that goes, I want to have sex in a couple of days.
This is okay. But what I'm trying to tell you is that great guy mm-hmm. that might be the best relationship for you
mm-hmm.
and be happy with for many years
mm-hmm.
may not feel exactly the same
way. Then unfortunately, I will miss out on that opportunity.
What I'm saying is that
that's just as destructive. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Just as destructive.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm
okay.
simply saying these are my standards and this is what I'm not willing to compromise on. Period.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we're like an hour 22. So
oh, wow. Okay.
We could probably call it a show.
But no, I agree with you. I'm 100% on the same page with you that I may potentially miss out on a good opportunity because I'm not willing to have sex before marriage.
Well, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you.
I'm not trying to be a slut. I'm just telling you.
No. And I don't think I'm a slut. I've never been one. And it's not a matter of thinking I am a slut. It's just a matter of saying to myself, the problem I'm having with most of the guys that I have seen and or been on a date with is that sex is something that they expect. And that's my problem. It's an expectation, not an earned thing.
Okay.
And if you feel like it's an expectation, I'm good. I want nothing to do with you because I have the right to give that to you. And if I choose not to give it to you, you either want it or you don't. And if you don't want to wait for it, that's okay with me. Go find somebody who will give it to you now because I won't. That's all.
Okay.
I'm good. If I miss out on something good, it is what it is.
I'm not saying, what I'm saying is like you've been dating somebody for a while and
a while what? A
I'd
while
say six
a year?
Months. Like 6 months.
So that's awful. I've never. You would never get sex from me after 6 months. It just wouldn't happen. I need to be because of how I was raised and because of my background, I have serious trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, 6 months is not nearly enough time for me to give something like sex to you. It just doesn't happen that because of my personal life experience. That's how I feel about it. It's about me, not a general anything. It's about me.
Okay.
After 6 months, you sure as heck are not getting sex. No.
I'm just saying, is, you know, that's just the number I put out with basically 6 months for someone.
No,
for,
that's
for
what a guy, most people. Yeah, absolutely.
For a guy that's willing to put the time 6 months and hang out with you for 6 months.
Absolutely. You know? And in my past, guys have waited that long and gotten that from me. Because at that point in time, I felt different about my sexual experiences. Now I'm at a place where I think I'm an amazing woman. I do amazing things and I'm an amazing package. So for me, it's like, if you want the whole package, the complete package, because I can devote myself to you completely, then you have to wait for it. It's just that simple.
And you might be able to pull that one off, but you better make up for it in other things.
Absolutely, in every way, shape, or form. You will be taken care of in every way, shape, and form, with the exception of sexual gratification. How long are you willing to wait for the perfect thing? I'm an amazing woman. I do everything by scratch. You will never have to worry about a darn thing.
Okay.
I'm a plan A, B, C, and D kind of girl. If you're willing to wait for it. If you're not, it doesn't faze me that you can't. I don't look down upon you because you can't, but that's my new standard. Mm. Wait for it or don't. That's your choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you put the word out on the internets.
There you go. If you can wait, and I'm talking like, I'm not talking 6 months. I'm not talking a year. I'm not talking 2 years. I'm talking years. Mm. I'm talking taking the time to get to know each other. This is my thing. If I plan on marrying someone, I plan on spending the rest of my life with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know every single thing about you in the first, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever years. I have the rest of my life to really, truly get to know you.
Okay.
But by the time I marry you, I want to know you well enough that when I wake up in the morning, I can find a way to please you for the rest of the day. That's what I'm willing to put forward.
Okay.
Absolutely. I plan on being a housewife. I plan on taking care of you. But if I don't know you, then how on earth can I do that? And sex gets in the way. Sex distracts people from getting to know each other because they're more worried about physical pleasure. So if you take the physical pleasure away, then you get to know someone.
You know, I think that's more a girl thing.
That is definitely more girlfriend. Absolutely.
Let me tell you, here's the dilemma of sexual relations. And this is, I have not made this one up at all. Mm-hmm. This is other people's things. Mm-hmm. Guys have to have sex before they get intimate.
Absolutely. I agree.
Women have to be intimate before they have sex.
Absolutely. I agree with you. 100%. I completely agree with you. And that's the difference in male and female. I just need to find somebody who recognizes the importance in what I have to offer to say, okay, I see what I can have from you in the future. And so therefore, I'm willing to wait now.
And we're getting this out of Renee after the second bottle of wine.
Well, this is always the side of me.
Okay.
That's it.
This is it.
I'm
simple. It's almost an hour and a half, so we've...
Yeah, we've had a good show.
We've been talking a lot.
Good show.
Okay. So now it's time for our stuff, Renee. Let's see if you can deliver. Let's see if you can deliver on these goods, Renee.
I'm totally tipsy. That's not even fair. I'm tipsy. Darn it. Okay, intellectshallow.com is our Facebook. No, Twitter.
That's our blog.
Is it our blog?
Yes.
Darn. Okay.
What's our email address?
Our email address is ishallowshow.com.
Nope.
No. Darn. Nope. What is our?
What's the title of the show?
Intellectshallow.
At gmail.com.
Thank you. Okay. Again, I'm tipsy. Intellectshallow.com is our what?
Intellectuallyshallow.com is our email. Blog.
Our blog?
Intellectuallyshallow.com is our blog.
Everything. Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay.
Intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com is our email.
Email,
address.
Yes.
Okay.
.com. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com, email, intellectuallyshallow.com is blog.
The title, email address is title of the show.
Intellectuallyshallow.com. @gmail.com is our email. Intellectshallow.com is our blog.
Correct.
iShallow Show is what you can find on Facebook.
Well, iShallow is our Twitter name.
Oh, yeah, Twitter and Facebook.
Our Facebook, you have to sort of search for iShallow Show or Intellectually Shallow.
If you type in iShallow Show, that's what you get. Or yes. iShallow.
And actually, iShallowShow.com will also get us the blog.
Okay, cool.
Both those things will work.
You mean, what's our Facebook?
Some number. It's a fan page.
Okay. Okay.
If you search for I Shallow Show, it will come up.
And our number
And there's also, if you go to our blog, there is a link to the fan page. So if you cannot remember Renee's blabbering, or my blabbering, because we've had a couple bottles of wine.
Thank you.
Just go to ishallowshow.com. There's a contact us, and the links are there. And they're also in the show notes.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So much information.
So, Renee?
What's our number? I know it starts with the 6, right?
No, it starts with the 2.
Oh, darn.
207.
Whatever.
619.
Six. No, I was right.
You were
619.
Yeah. But
I told you I started with a 6. But forget the 207.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Forget the area code.
Forget the area code. I told you it started with a 6. That I knew.
You were sort of right.
619.
3862.
Okay, so I was right.
Sort of.
No, I was right.
It technically starts with a 2.
Technically starts with a 2.
If you're not local to the main area, it starts with a 2.
Yes. But if you're local to the main area, like I said, it starts with a 6.
And if I look at the statistics, most of our listeners are from China.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said that. That's hilarious. Okay, so I have to stop saying that. So it doesn't start with a 2. It starts with a 6. It starts with a 2.
Yes.
Excuse me. 207-619, what?
3862.
3862.
If you could actually remember that, Renee, I would be totally surprised. I can't remember it.
619-6832.
6832.
I'll have to try.
And our Twitter feed is ishallowshow.com. Yep. And I won't have to tell you about how to use Twitter properly. What's a good way to use Twitter?
So here's my issues with Twitter. I don't like Twitter because I'm still getting used to it. And I've been trying to, I went on Twitter this week. I actually went to our thing and I like talked to people. And by the way, I have 3 new people who are following me on Twitter because of our show. Just saying.
Excellent.
Yes. I don't like Twitter, but I'm trying to use it, Matt.
We'll have a talk about how to use that properly.
I just don't like it.
What I'm saying is, you know, Twitter, brevity of wit is always the best thing with Twitter.
With what?
Brevity of wit. Because it's only 160 characters.
That's true.
I will tell you how to use it. We'll talk about that later. So I think our show's over.
Our show's over.
Bye, everybody.
This is the most tipsy you guys are going to get me for a while.
Yeah, because we're on wine number 2.
I've had a terrible week. So.
And there wasn't that much. Renee did not eat that much food. So.
No, I didn't. And I'm only like 115 pounds. So.
She's very light.
That's hilarious.
You may not give up the goods, but
I'm going to listen to the show and Renee go, oh my gosh, what did
you say? If Renee is under your arm, you will make other girls jealous.
Hey, hey, hey. Well, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. That's okay. Okay, so our show is over.
Show's over. Bye, everybody.
Bye.